thank you for today and for each of our tax rallies goes to Kimberly Pine of Eva Beach, a fantastic representative. And without her, a lot of us wouldn't be able to get together and get organized to fight this monstrosity, this machine that works so hard to take everything we've got. We've learned anything this year, and Kim has shown us the bills. She's shown us what they're doing, is that they want an even bigger bite, and they're exploiting the current economic situation. It's going to be a temporary tax. You ever seen one go away? Exactly. That's the point I was trying to make. You never see it go away. Kimberly and her entire staff have just been terrific. They're hearing what's going on out there in the communities, even beyond Eva Beach. It's statewide. People are suffering. But these people, these politicians, live in some kind of cocoon. But Kim and her staff, they know what's going on. Just for starters, Tom Berg, this guy ought to be the next representative out of Eva Beach and Lower Waipahu. This guy is a tax fighter. He's a no-nonsense waste cutter, and he understands policies and their implications for anything from transportation to the raw sewage that comes out of this capital. Let me tell you, he knows where the bones are buried, and he knows how to fix things. We're here to send a message to the people in that building right there that we pay enough taxes already. They've got to learn to make do with what they've got, the way we make do with it, the way that, you know, households and businesses make do with it. They obviously don't understand. They're going door to door in those offices in the state capitol, letting them know, hey, Senator, hey, Representative, hey, staff people, well, you're killing us. You're killing us with these taxes. And the taxes create higher prices, and the higher prices get taxed even higher. So it's a pyramiding effect that's driving people to leave Hawaii, driving people so they can never move out of their parents' home. Businesses that could start aren't starting. The ones that are in business are hurting, laying off, going out of business. So this is the beginning of a stand we're taking. We've really had enough.
Sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces, sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces, tell lies, and I got proof. Oh, Lord, yeah. Sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces tell lies, and I've got proof.
Jealousy,
misery, envy,
I tell you, you can't. You're listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. I'm sitting here with Mr. Eric Ryan, and we're going to be talking about the subject. I guess it's going to be varied and many. It's a subject that's been in the news. I guess we'll describe it as news. It caught my attention because a lot of things were being tossed out and talked about that were either omitted by intent of those that are covering the news, or they weren't able to see it. But it's not about them anyway. It's about what this show is built on and trying to afford people the opportunity to tell their side without painting an ugly picture of them. And we have invited, I must tell you up front, Mr. Tom Berg, the city councilman, Tom Berg. And we have invited House Representative, Kimberly Pine. Mr. Berg declined, and his secretary said he just can't come, basically, and apologized for the scheduling. But Mr. Berg says he wouldn't come as long as Ryan is on the air. So Ms. Pine, on the other hand, said that she wouldn't come on because any further, and she has a conversations with the police department, and she has complaints with the FBI. I don't know if she, in that alphabet soup of enforcement agencies, she mentioned the CIA and the NIS or whomever, but we attempted, and again, we still extend that invite to Ms. Pine and Mr. Berg next week, if you'd like to, being that you don't believe that you'd like to be in the same room with Mr. Berg. Mr. Ryan. And so the intent here, I've purposely invited Mr. Ryan some 2 weeks ago, and he couldn't make it then, do the scheduling. But he's here now, and the reason I brought him in, as I said in the beginning, there were certain things that should have been asked, and others should have been taken the task in answering. But they weren't asked that. It became an attack on Ryan. And mind you, I'm not going to sit here and look Ryan in the face and tell him he's an angel, because he's not an angel. He doesn't even come, just in appearance, he's not an angel, like myself. And I'm sure he got many a bad problems. They say everyone has a little larceny in their heart. But I'm not looking at heart and doing heart surgery today. What I'm trying to do is look at the people that make our decisions. And here is an opportunity that has afforded itself to allow us as listeners and me as a radio person is to afford us all an opportunity to hear. And Mr. Ryan has, if we find him lying, then we're going to stone him. That's the way it is. And we can also return back to the scene to finish if we are lied to, and I don't think you'll want to take that risk.
No, sir. No, not at all.
So we're not threatening him, but again, I want you to know that, and I have now received a great many of phone calls, emails, encouraging me not to have him on. So, in other words, I've heard some sources say, we've talked about this subject enough, so we need to move on. Well, I don't take offense to that, but I think it's an irresponsible position to take and to then vocalize it, whether you're the newspaper or the radio or whomever, because while you may have exhausted your talents at it, I use the term talents, or your resources, or you dare not to ask people certain questions, I think it's a bit arrogant and irresponsible on anyone's part to suggest that it's over. This subject matter has had enough topic coverage and what have you, and let's move on. Well, we are moving on, and hopefully as we move on, we're more informed. And again, Eric, thank you for daring and caring to come in here, because I don't know where they are right now, but you've been described as a psychotic, madman. You've been everything that you have, and that you these things are attacks.
Yes.
And I had the occasion, one occasion, to interview Ms. Pine.
Yeah.
And folks, comments. If one is afraid of their life because this person, Eric Ryan, threatens them, and just the mere sight of him, the presence, and the thought, and what he's doing, threatens you, you would think you would refrain from adding a fuel to the fire by calling him psychotic, publicly saying he's a hacker, the FBI is going to get him, and what have you. I think at some point, like she has, Ms. Pang has said, she don't want to talk about it now with me,
yes,
because she has police reports filed, but she wouldn't give me a number. So anyway, thank you, and I don't have a bail. So.
Well, thank you, Carol, for inviting me on today, and thanks to your listeners who've tuned in because they might want to hear things they haven't heard before. Mm-hmm. I'm Eric Ryan, been involved in local politics on and off for a little over 20 years, campaigns and things, policy issues. Up until a week and a day ago, I was the chief of staff for City Councilman Tom Berg at City Hall. I successfully ran his campaign and run on a shoestring, and I was the first person he hired immediately after the election, and I was put in charge of hiring most everybody else. A month earlier, I had successfully helped Kim Pine get reelected. Kim lives just a few blocks from me. Tom lives just a few blocks from her. We're all in close proximity out there in Ever Beach. And it really wasn't until I got suddenly fired at 5 minutes after midnight last Friday morning, so it's a week ago Friday, by email, fired along with another individual for completely different reasons by Mr. Berg. It was only subsequent to that that I realized why Representative Pine, who I used to call Kim, and Councilman Berg, who I used to call Tom, suddenly became very worried about what I was embarking on when, really, the very day that I was fired by Tom Berg, I had just begun to launch a brand new website. The website, which most people by now know, is KimPineIsACrook.com, and the organization is Citizens Against Crooked Politicians. Mm-hmm. It was scheduled to launch a week ago Friday, and I was going to probably do it the moment I got home from work that day, because I don't do any of this at the office. As you'll see, if you ever look at all the work I did for Tom Berg the last 6 months, our website's vastly superior to almost every other elected official in Hawaii. Our newsletters, our press releases, our e-blasts, all our communications, top-notch, and so constantly busy there. But on the very day, just hours before I was to launch this website, which was only designed to clear my name after endless dozens of accusations of, like you said, everything from being a computer hacker to, I guess, being an illegal alien, a child molester. I don't know. It just went on and on from her. I just wanted to clear my name because she obviously had the ear of everybody in the media. Suddenly, Tom Berg, at middle of the night, just 30 minutes after writing me an email saying, here's, Eric, what I need you to work on tomorrow, 30 minutes later, all of a sudden, boom, I'm firing you. And I guess we can talk a little about that later. The reasons he gave, and now his brand new subsequent reasons. But I've had a lot of time to think in the last week why it all happened the way it did, and I think your listeners are going to find it very interesting, that theory that is very provable.
Well, I will disclose to you now that I did, in fact, talk to Kimberly, Ms. Pine. I want to make sure that she's still a human being.
Right.
And this, you know, the political side of a person, we can, you know, we can understand that. That calls for some things that we probably wouldn't tell our mothers we do.
No.
You know? But so we'll be respectful of her and that and anyone else. But
of course.
But what I will say is that she informed me that she did, in fact, talk to Tom Berg the day of your firing and smooth things over with Tom because Tom had ignored her. This is what she represented.
Yeah.
Her 20-some calls and her staff to his office and that he never returned any calls. But finally he did, and she acknowledged that she actually discussed your employment and your firing.
Yes.
So I think that while refusing to come on the show,
yes,
on my show, and sit here and share with the public the facts,
mm-hmm.
And that she had a police report and, and would like to let that play out. She was still active in serving as a catalyst for and stimulus for something.
Well, if I don't look surprised as you tell me this, that the two were talking about my firing and about their political situations vis-a-vis me and getting reelected, all that kind of thing, if I don't look surprised, it's because I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
The average person looking at this mix of stories might initially conclude, from the way I'm being described, that these two people, Tom Berg, Kim Pine, barely knew me, I barely knew them, and that we barely worked together, and our relationship is no closer than a customer with a drive-through, you know, order taker at a fast food place, and it's exactly the opposite of that. So I'm extremely privy to how Tom Berg didn't want to take Kim Pine's calls for a while and ignored her emails and really only ever talked to the same go-between for months that actually I was talking to Kimberly Pine's chief of staff, John Golner. And his name comes up a lot in this story, not to demean him or disparage him, but he was very instrumental in a lot of the back and forth. But I think it helps the listener to understand that when you think of politics and you think of political allies and truly how close everyone worked together, Tom Berg, Kim Pine, myself, and others, so intensely for so long, when you think of people who are political allies, they don't get along swimmingly all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of soap operas and dramas behind the scenes, disagreements. They try and keep up a brave face publicly, and that's definitely going on right now, is a combined front.
Mm-hmm.
Of looking strong, but to hear you tell me that you've learned from Kim that she was talking to Tom Berg about my firing on the day of the firing is about as surprising as telling me that Kim's going to accuse me of yet another thing tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
after 6 weeks now of her nonstop inundating me. So not surprising.
Let me ask you this, and 524-1080 is the number. If you'd like to call, give a comment, or if consistent with some of those emails that I receive about you, if you want to attack him or call him a liar or a destruction of the Republican Party, whatever, feel free. I'm sure Eric can weather that, and if there's Mr. John Carroll, whom they casually or so easily was able to quote him, and I understand that you ripped him off too.
Well, it's funny. I've heard what Kim has said to me, to others,
mm-hmm.
and I believe even to you about me with regard to Carol. I think her words were something about having me taken money from Stop Rail Now. Well, I was the paid campaign manager.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they paid me money. Did I take money? No, I never took money, ever took money, just like took it. Working for gubernatorial candidate from 2 years ago, John Carroll, I was his paid campaign manager. Did I take money from him like he's looking that way and I reach into his pocket, take it? No. I was the paid campaign manager, charged him the same amount. I charged Stop Rail Now. And billings-wise, if you know anything about how much one should charge in these cases of political consulting or advertising, I charged Kim Pine and Tom Berg and others last year in the elections, nothing compared to what normally would be charged. But to hear that Eric Ryan just steals money or something like that is the newest bizarre twist coming from Kim Pine and, you know, this little cadre of Eric Ryan haters around town. Because I've definitely made enemies in the last 20 years and probably more so in the last few because I'm outspoken. And they don't necessarily
Yeah,
I don't mind telling the truth in a world of politics where telling the truth is usually going to hurt somebody or some organization or some special interest group or some special deal. You're not supposed to tell the truth. You're supposed to shade it.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to work behind the scenes to leverage things. You're not supposed to just say things that are true. For instance, the Republican Party right now is bankrupt. They have no money. Their AC has been turned off. Their hot water has been turned off. The paid staff has been all laid off. Now, I said this was true 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. Republican Party sent out a massive email to every one of its members. Eric Ryan's a liar. Go down to headquarters now. Staff's laid off. Hot water's been turned off to save money. AC's been turned off to save money. And they don't have one penny in their budget that they just approved to spend on any form of marketing or PR or communications for the next 12 months. Mm-hmm. Which, if you understand politics and you're an underdog, you can't ever afford to go silent. You can't afford to be without people working all the time. That's just one example of really upsetting mm-hmm. people. And they're willing to lie to counter you. Oh, no, we're fine. We're in great shape financially. Well, I dare anyone to go there and not break a sweat the first few minutes they're there. Mm-hmm. And that's just one example. And I'm certainly within 1 week of being fired by Councilman Berg, and after 6 weeks of hearing Kim Pine trashing me constantly, it behooves me to at least try and correct the record. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to be saying things, and have been saying things recently in my own defense, that are very uncomfortable topics. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're going to find people who are willing to trash me and dredge up past beefs. Mm-hmm. But as I understand the story, you've got two sitting politicians here mm-hmm. who have a lot to hide. They know I know it. I'm not trying to threaten anybody. Mm-hmm. As I said, about a week ago when I got fired, I really racked my brain. What is it that's bugging these two so badly that Tom would fire me for blowing the whistle on lawbreaking and time theft and sleeping on the job and sexual harassment things going on in his office? Why would he take that risk of firing me for something illegal? Mm-hmm. Why would Kim Pine not just have paid her bill? And the documentation's there. She never paid it. And it dawned on me. You know, I had a little more time on my hands this past week. I wasn't having to go to work at City Hall every day. And I got a hunch, and my hunch was, what if they did something they know was wrong, their own personal little Watergate, and I was part of it and didn't know it? So I looked up some campaign spending laws here in the state of Hawaii, mm-hmm. and oh my goodness. It made perfect sense to me why they had to shut me up and get me out of there and make the subject about me being, you know, pure evil and this and that, and even if they have to make stuff up, and they did. So that's something I think your listeners might find pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is, and hopefully you can shine some light on it. I'll describe the scenario as best I can. In the political climate here, we have currently have a governor standing. I won't describe him as a governor, as a dictator.
Yeah, sure.
He's supposed to be a Democrat and a liberal.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here talking to a Republican Tea Party member who tells me that we have the same type of behavior. We have a governor who, for example, won't send me an email to let me know of a press conference because I guess I'm not worthy of that.
Yeah.
But I'm still a citizen of the state, number one.
Yeah.
The public relations person just ignores me.
Yeah.
So here's the frightening part, and I think people should understand why I reached out to get you on, is to say that we're in a difficult time politically because we need checks and balances.
Sure.
We need a Republican Party or a Libertarian or something.
Yeah.
We just need a big party, I guess, just to have party and get drunk. We need some other party because what's happening now, the Dems on one side sitting there conspiring, ignoring, and they have the same kind of nonsense that I've seen come out. So I don't want to give them a free ticket and think, oh, he's going to bash up on the Republicans. No, I'm speaking out of fear that what we have here is it's no longer a democracy. We got snakes, bugs, crickets, and centipedes running the government.
Yeah.
And then we got on your side there already strapped for cash, already small numbers. And they circle the wagons to attack you. And I'm thinking, well, he might be as wrong as two left shoes.
Yeah.
But let's let him talk. If he lies, we can deal with that. You know.
Oh, sure.
I'm not going to say that your comments, you know, if you wrote Carol Cox is a crook.com, hey, that's something, you know, if it's wrong, I take issue with it.
Sure.
But again, it's your right.
Yeah.
And when you're in a fight, I guess you fight.
Right.
And if that's what they built courts for, to say, we'll stay civil, but that person can sue you.
Yeah.
But that's the troubling part about, as I see it unfold. We have now the Republican Party, and Skeletor remains.
Yes.
And then we have a Democratic Party who is just partying, spending our money, sucking our blood dry, ignoring all this and everything, dumbing our kids down, putting in a rail, and just, they're pimps.
Yeah.
You know, because in Chicago, if you were a pimp, you were too flamboyant, they'd finally pick up on you. But now we have this situation, and it's shameful that all parties out there, they should have said, Pine, you need to share with us the specifics, and I have, and we'll get into that. We got another hour and whatever, but I have specifics where she contradicts herself, and when it is convenient, she declares, "I have a police report."
So you're saying a politician said something contradictory? That's just shocking. I'm just shocked. And then on top of that, you're saying then when confronted with the contradiction, they don't want to talk anymore?
Right.
Shocked.
And
I'm shocked.
And for example, Mr. Berg didn't want to come on. Caller, I'll be with you shortly.
Shocked.
But he didn't want to come on this show, and Pine didn't want to, but she appeared in an interview while telling me she couldn't come on and she had a police report, but she'd already told them early on she had filed police reports. So why did she talk to them? And the bigger problem is, and we'll get into this, Tom Berg allowed a photographer and a news person to sit there and photograph him sign
my termination
paper.
Right.
I'm sorry, folks. Maybe Miss Pine might be as precious as the Queen's jewel, but something got to give here. Hold on. Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Good morning. I'd like to preface my call with, I don't know Berg or Pine. I have no associations with them, and I don't know Eric. But as a private citizen, I'm curious, Eric. Some time ago, Mike Buck made a statement on his afternoon show that you called in and represented yourself as Tom Berg to the screener, to Mike Buck's screener. And he was really upset with you, and I just wanted to know what was the story with that.
I'm glad you asked it.
Eric.
You know, it's been nagging at me for a long time. Let me give you a little preface. That day, the electricity was out in Eva Beach. High winds had knocked over poles, and we were in crisis mode that day. Tom Berg was at home in Eva Beach, so I was manning the fort on behalf of Council District 1 at the office. We were trying to do everything we could, work with HECO. We wanted to get word to people what was going on. It just so happened that someone who was at my own wedding, a cousin by marriage, is the head of the very union of HECO that walked out on strike, refusing to put up the phone, you know, the electric poles and everything like that. So I got this guy on the phone. I barely knew him. And I was talking to him, and I said, you know, what gives? You really going to go out on strike? We need that electricity restored. Had about a 30-minute conversation with the guy, and he made it really clear that they needed to take advantage of this situation of our phone poles being down to make a point with HECO in order to extract whatever they were looking for at the negotiating table. Anyway, enough said. The moment I hang up the phone, I let Tom Berg know what's going on, and then 5 seconds later, I call into radio stations to let them know what I'd learned. I call the Mike Buck show, I guess he was on the air, and his call screener asked who this is, and I said, this is Eric Ryan, chief of staff over Tom Berg's office at City Hall. I put on the air after being on hold for a little while, and to my dismay, Mike Buck goes into this rant that I was pretending to be Tom Berg to get on the radio. And at first I'm thinking, could there have been a misunderstanding? I'm like, no, I was so ultra clear. And he's trying to tear me a new one, this Mike Buck fellow, who I've never met and I've never really talked to except once before in a show years ago when I was running Stop Reel Now. And I thought, could there be possibly any misunderstanding? So about a week or two later, Tom Berg himself, Councilman Tom Berg, calls in the Mike Buck show and he wants to talk about something. And the call screener puts him on with Mike Buck, and they hang up on Tom Berg. They just hang up on him.
Yeah, you know, I was listening that day, Eric, and, you know, I just found it really, really weird.
It was weird, and it demonstrates to me the fact that I've never really ever been asked on any of the big issues I'm involved with to be on either the Mike Buck show or the Rick Hamada show. My own theory, if you're wondering why I think this was the case, I mean, let's remember something very important, which is in 2008, Mufi Hanneman ran for re-election as mayor, fully intending, of course, to run for governor later and leave office. But he was on the Mike Buck show constantly. The Mufi Hanneman campaign was a sponsor of the Mike Buck show.
Right.
So they're sitting there next to each other, all chummy, and then drunk driving Bill Brennan, the city spokesman, he's there, and I assume people like Keith Rollman and others were swinging in and out because he's there every day, sponsoring the Mike Buck show. So they're very chummy. As you can imagine, people oftentimes, there are exceptions in media, politics, whatever, celebrities, very chummy, and not how you'd expect them to get along, because Mike Buck reinvented himself as a conservative talk show host. And I don't know about Rick Hamada before, but Mike Buck certainly was never a conservative, you know, guy before that anyone ever knew. And, you know, the prevailing winds at that station are you need to be a conservative talk show host if you want to be on our program. And he's danced and played the part and whatever. But it was bizarre that he went into this thing pretending that I was talking, that I misrepresented myself, but then he hangs up on my boss a week later. So...
Yeah, I was listening, and you know he did make you know he made some pretty snide comments about Tom Berg.
Yeah, well,
and then you could
call it. We don't want to get into a debate.
Buck, yeah, no, I'm sorry, Carol.
Mike Buck isn't here, and
get back to it then.
Yeah, I don't want to.
Eric, thanks for addressing that.
Aloha. And we'd be as guilty as they, we accuse others of being. So
I apologize for going on. It's a sensitive subject.
Mike Buck is, for me, a good guy. I, you know.
Sure.
He's been, and if you want to learn how to catch fish, talk to him.
Okay. When I develop that interest, I will.
Yeah, well, you know.
If he'll take my call.
Well, you probably, if someone invited you to go fishing now, I would decline. just a little word to the wise.
Swimming with the fishes? Is that what you're talking about?
I could see you right now being invited on a water skiing trip down in the bayous of Louisiana. I can see it now. You know, there's Eric Ryan.
There's no corruption in Hawaii. What are you saying, Carol?
And I could see one alligator saying, oh, those guys from Hawaii taste different, but taste great.
Hey, I thought we were changing the subject.
Anyway, again... I heard part of that conversation, and but radio, it's that everybody want to hash out those things, but then when given the opportunity to take a crying person who says, I've been harmed.
Sure.
I've been defrauded. I'm being extorted.
Yeah.
There's a madman. He's a criminal. He's a professional extortionist and blah, 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 blah. But...
Yes.
I can't say any more and come on your show because I have a police report filing and I would rather let them complete the investigation.
Right.
So here's, again, I want to give the listeners out there an insight as to what prompted me to reach out to you.
Please.
Upon seeing this from afar, and I don't like to get in phrase, I just hate stale news anyway. If I don't go out there and dig it up, I don't feel like I've done any good for the public and the listeners. So I like to be original for that purpose.
Sure.
You know, everybody can mull over anything. But in this case, it set the tone. It is suggested that there were protective behavior, more so like the queen bee, you know, if you know bees.
Right.
There were certain people with certain roles. Those with pens, those with microphones, those with cameras, seem to have engaged in the bee mentality of the hive, and not to be critical or insulting of anyone.
Oh, sure.
But that is the impression that I got. That was my impression. So let me watch this. I saw you once.
Yes.
From a distance.
Right. I think it was neighborhood board.
Neighborhood
or something.
Board. You know, hi, bye.
Yeah.
You know. But I felt something was missing, and then I began to see this talk about the great cyber crime, the great cyber bill, the great cyber session, the legislative process, and I'm thinking, wait, this is a civil matter, an individual civil matter that is being disputed.
Right.
That's what we build courts for.
Yeah.
Not to take the public's time, not to use public office, not to use public resources to deal with this. So I began to become quite concerned that just maybe, because my history tells me that people can manufacture things for the good of themselves, not for the good of people.
Yeah.
And this became the talk.
Mm-hmm.
This became the banner. This became all about this guy who has extorted.
Yeah.
And then you became, then somehow,
right.
You became this great criminal of cyberspace.
Yes.
My antenna went up, and so I began to quietly watch,
right.
Because here's what I felt, that we had witnessed an attempt, and it was done well, because there were a lot of people rattled around and talked about it and printed it, that we had been the bait and switch, and we had seen an individual who had bamboozled the public. Because there are people, we're all good, but we have some bad things occasionally, and we have motivation. So I watched that, and now I'm looking and I'm thinking, okay, if you do this and you have legislative process, and you then you begin to say, well, I'm going to fix it through the legislative process.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with that, because if you know how laws are made, that's like forever. You can rocks form quicker sometimes than laws can be made. So that, why would a person in her capacity who's fearful of her life, who is just devastated, right, crying publicly,
right,
but yet going to go out and champion the world's cause and gamble? It's a gamble, because you don't know if you're going to pass. So I'm beginning to think maybe there's even something greater underlying current that is triggering this. And I began to explore. And what I found, based on little tidbits of, well, she might be running for a city council.
Yeah.
And then I began to pursue that.
Right.
And now one may argue and say, well, that's not true. Well, here's the problem. All those elements are present.
Yeah.
And you can argue with me all you want to, but I think I was right.
Well, your antenna went up for good right. reason. And I can think of 50 more reasons anyone's antenna should get off with this story. The reality is that this political scandal, however you want to classify it, is in its seventh week now.
Mm-hmm.
That's 7 weeks. Actually, if you know what's gone on behind the scenes, you actually need to add 4 more weeks because it was really... 11 weeks ago, early May, I'd had enough with Kim not paying her bill, took her websites down. They were my websites, but, you know, and she never, ever, ever paid a penny. So that's when she first contacted HPD, FBI, CIA, NASA, whoever all these people are. And the reality is 11 weeks later, they haven't found anything wrong. In fact, I've been exonerated on everything that I know of. I would be in chains by now, arrested, if not charged, if any of it was true. More to the point, and this is something that, I mean, if the average person hears these charges that Kim's making about me, the average person, if they hear the types of charges that she's making, the average person, if they hear that police reports have been filed and investigations are going on, would rightfully conclude, gosh, by now, somebody from some law enforcement agency has at least contacted Eric Ryan to ask even one question.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, as of this second in time, not one person from any law enforcement agency has ever contacted me about any of this.
Mm-hmm.
About a month and a half ago, a couple weeks after this scandal broke publicly, which I'd like people to understand, I didn't make this go public. Kim Pine is responsible for every single news story that you've seen about all of this completely instigated the behind-the-scenes building dispute, completely instigated all the bad press, but haven't heard from any law enforcement agency. But right after the story first broke, a week or so later, I called around different law enforcement agencies. I finally found someone, the detective supposedly at HPD, who works out of their Chinatown branch where the detectives are, who said, yeah, I'm the guy who's supposed to be dealing with the Kim Pine complaint about you.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, don't you want to talk to me? He says, well, we've actually already looked at it and there's nothing there. You've got nothing to worry about. But we have to send a report because it's a high-profile case to the prosecutor's office and they get to decide, but there's nothing there. And then I hear through third party that the FBI has investigated this thing, even on the mainland, and there's nothing there. And so I guess Representative Pine must have been extremely disappointed that she wasn't getting anywhere, which happens when you make false charges. They don't go anywhere, usually. That she started to invent new ones. One I heard on the TV not long ago was her saying that I tried to hack into her bank account or that I tried to kill her husband or something. There was a slew of them. I don't even have the time in my day, even now unemployed, to chronicle all of the accusations. I will, obviously, at some point. And I know that there's... I'll shut up in a moment here, but there's been some concern on the part of people watching this whole matter. How come Eric Ryan hasn't been willing to go on TV when they do these stories?
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, I knew in advance when I'd be called by reporters, whether online, print, TV, what have you, that these stories were already written. They just wanted to get my, you know, face on there and maybe a quick quote. But they'd already written this story that Eric Ryan was a hacker, cyber guy who broke into government emails and who, and everything else that Kim said, you know, they just took to be true because I'm so controversial, and it was an easy thing to do, to do this little high-tech lynching. But I also was somewhat bound by trying to protect my now former boss, Tom Berg, politically by not really engaging Ms. Pine publicly. Of course, Tom is protege of Kim Pine, political ally, longtime, you know, friend and acquaintance.
Mm-hmm.
But so only now am I beginning to really get out there and defend myself because I'm not bound by trying to worry about my now boss's reputation. And because Kim has just gone so out there with these allegations that I thought, you know, at some point I should clear the air. And that's what the website, you know, KimPineIsACrook.com is all about, and forming the organization Citizens Against Crooked Politicians. Because obviously I stumbled onto something from working so close with these people for so long and so intensely and getting them elected and reelected that they think I know something, and I think I now know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But there you go. So you, well, your antenna are up for good reason.
Well, I because it goes up, still doesn't mean there's anything awry or suspect.
Of course.
But then things began to unfold and reveal themselves, and then I find through my queries that she did, in fact, choose and have chosen a campaign manager to run for city council. The other rumor that I had heard in a tidbit that I then beat the pavement, looked under the rocks and turned over the moss, and find out that she has scheduled a kickoff party for that campaign on August 25th, 2011.
Surprise, surprise.
Now, how do I know that? Well, I went to Ocean's 808.
Oh, the nightclub.
And in Restaurant Row, and I spoke with people there.
Yeah.
And they confirmed. So, again, she didn't want to, Ms. Pine did not want to respond to my questions. She didn't answer any questions.
Right.
She said that, in fact, you were basically, paraphrasing it, you were dropping these bombs, and this is what you have been spreading from day one, that she was going to leave the party and so forth and so on. That was all false. But then she goes and say to me in the same sentence, basically, but I do. I can't. Each year I get approached by several high Democrats asking, telling me I should change over. Now, okay, here's do what you want to do as a politician, and if the people buy it, hey man, it's great. I think it's good. It's stylish. It's right. Good. Look like the game is played.
Sure.
And you've learned the tricks. Here's what troubles me.
Yeah.
While presenting this as a cyber crimes and it's a cyber event,
yes.
And blah blah blah,
laws need to be changed.
And she's going to, and I want people to listen to this because this is why my antenna went up, and these are the things that I'm sharing with them internally, what my brains were saying.
Sure.
If you're going to do that, and I know that you are going to jump ship and leave the party and step down out of the legislative part as a state representative,
yeah.
Which is where you were going to, quote, introduce a bill.
Yeah.
Then how can you not tell the people that, in fact, you don't plan on being there
right.
In the legislative process when the doors open the next year or what have you to introduce that bill because you're going to go for city council person?
Well, you know, I'd like to repeat something I said earlier, which is if you are listening to this discussion and you have this presumption that Kim and I or Tom and I barely know each other, then you're not even going to begin to understand the story. We work together extremely closely, very intensely on specific things relating to elections and some policy things. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, dozens of phone calls and emails a week and text messages and meetings and so on. And so extremely close work relationship. So, I mean, for instance, I was there moments after Kim Pine returned from a meeting with Todd Apoe, who was the city councilman, and his patron, Jeff Stone, out at Coalina. She had gone out there in hopes that she could get their blessing because she had heard and knew, probably firsthand, that Todd Apoe was going to quit the city council to take this job at Disney. Mm-hmm. So she met me right after that meeting. We met at Zippy's in Eva Beach, and she expressed to me how really upset she was that she could not convince them, Todd Apoe especially, to wait until after the general election,
and
November 2nd. And Jeff Stone. Please, she implored them, wait on this announcement until after the November 2nd general election so I can get reelected and it doesn't look like I'm going to bail, you know, as soon as I get elected, you know, to run for city council. Because those of us who know her, and again, you don't get this story if you think we don't know each other. We know each other very well. Has wanted that to be her next step. She couldn't wait to become, because of the problems with the GOP and the fact that Hawaii's a Democrat state, couldn't wait to peel off the R after her name to become nonpartisan, technically nonpartisan mm-hmm. City Council. I can tell you straight up that there's Tom Berg, Republican, and everyone else is Democrat, and we get funny looks when we go to work each day. but you could do 2 hours on that alone. But anyway, so we meet at Zippy's right after this meeting, and she is beside herself, upset that they couldn't hold on to this secret about Todd Apoe bailing to go to Disney because she wanted to be a smooth thing, get reelected November 2nd, and then maybe Todd Apoe a couple days later could say, guess what, I'm leaving the city council, and then Kim can say, well, for the sake of the community, here I go. Had she done it before the election, we decided that night at Zippy's it was going to make her look like an opportunist.
Mm-hmm.
So she had to stay put, and there was no thought of Tom Berg ever running for city council at that point because a special election was there. Todd Apoe resigns, special election. So we had no idea. Tom didn't make that decision until right after the general election, and it became clear that there was a special election, and he didn't like the other people that were running. But I remember Kim was just determined to make city council her next step. I completely forgot about that incident until I started to hear those rumblings recently that that's what this is. One quick point, though, that's important to understand in looking at politics, Hawaii anywhere, but especially Hawaii. In Hawaii, you've got 76 state legislators, 25 state senators, 51 state house members. They only are a part-time thing January to April. So it's very easy with that many of them and then just part-time. Very hard to get in the news. Very hard to get free publicity. It's very hard to get your name known.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably no better way to set the stage for your next election, especially going higher, when most of the year you're anonymous, is to have a crisis and look like you're on top of that crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I will have a hard time having anyone talk me out of believing that Kim Pine saw the opportunity to create, manufacture this crisis, and I believe the facts will show there was no real problem there, and leveraged it all she could. When you mentioned that she wanted to introduce tougher cybercrime legislation, and she organized this great panel of guest speakers at the state capitol recently with her Republican colleagues, who frankly should be kind of ashamed of her now that the facts are getting out. But anyway, she's going to push for cybercrime.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? If what you say is true, and I've checked it out myself, that she is running for city council, she has a kickoff event, she has a campaign manager, she's got people helping her, she's got people who are trying to shut me down, et cetera, et cetera. And she's now gotten Tom Berg's campaign manager driven out of City Hall with Tom Berg's, you know, help. Mm-hmm. This was all for show.
So Tom Berg is really living tip of the iceberg. Because cold shoulders.
Poor
fella. I mean, let me say this.
Please.
Tom Berg, for me, is the type of politician. He has a fight. He just need to be polished.
Yeah.
And need to reach out and not be so partisan in a sense.
Yeah.
Because he is a guy. I would give him my money to say, run over there and bet on that horse and trust that he'll do the right thing.
Yeah.
It's just that he gets caught up, and he's been out there fighting for the public. I can tell you that.
Oh, sure.
And it's a I empathize with him.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, this whole thing, and we're going to talk about this in the next hour.
Please.
We have the where she did the Save Ever Beach campaign. We'll talk about that, which give more credibility to the claim or my suspicion.
Sure. Her and Tom. Yeah.
So my guest here is Mr. Eric Ryan, pathological liar, extortionist.
Wanted man.
Wanted man. The FBI is about to surround his house, and you get it. But anyway, we're going to see either two things.
Yes.
You either get to share with the public the facts and other things, or I'll carry you out of here in handcuffs.
I'll let you know, because I have a good view here, if I see the agents gathering at the door. But so far, it looks pretty clear out there.
524-1080 is the number to call. But and I want to ask you your opinion on, do you think that the Republicans are going to continue to surround and protect this injured Queen Bee? Or do you think they're going to continue to write me letters and say I shouldn't have you on or what? But hold that thought. We'll be back. This is the Carol Cox Show. Please join me in the second hour, 524-1080. Aloha.
Love. it goes. You take it ever so slow, and then you lose it, and then it flows right to you. So we rely on the past, and special moments at last. Well, as tender as we dare to remember, such a fun time as this. What could equal the bliss? The thrill of the first kiss. It's like the weather one day, chicken, next day, feathers. The roads we remember, the thorns we forget. We love and leave, we never spend a minute on regret. It is a possibility, the more we know, the less we see. Second time is not quite what it seems.
You're listening to The Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Okay, good morning again, and welcome to The Carol Cox Show, the second half. My guest is Mr. Eric Ryan, and we're discussing and tossing around some of the issues and the allegations that he's an extortionist and a pathological liar and a robber of sorts and electronic basher, hasher, swasher, swapper. But I want to clarify something. The views and the opinions expressed here today is not those of KWAI. They belong to I, Carol Cox. And if there's any questions or you need to know where to send your lawyers, carolcox.com is the first way you can contact me. carol@carolcox.com. And if you like to, you can send me an email now. I can read it. And if you got questions for Eric or myself, feel free. Don't hesitate. Would love to hear from you out there. And again, I want to make it very clear. So don't go out there and get picket lines and stand out there. I'm the chef of this restaurant for these 2 hours. And if there's any, you don't like the flavor or the taste, or you found glass or hair in your food, contact me. And again, thank you, all of you. And kind of a smart mouth today, I think. I don't know why I'm this way, but I've just been, personally, I've never been shunned by so many who were seeking justice.
Yeah.
I came along and I said, I can give you, you know, the microphone in 2 hours, or next week even more hours, yeah. Mr. Berg and Ms. Pine, because, you know, if we have an extortionist out there,
yeah.
Who is, as being described, continually extorting.
Right.
And who is attacking, as the media sources, your actions were attacks.
It's funny that I didn't initiate any of the publicity you've seen in the last 6-7 weeks, and yet I'm supposedly the attacker.
Mm-hmm.
The earliest you could say that I did anything that remotely resembled attacking was the day I got fired, which was the day I was set to launch this website, KimPineIsACrook.com. And really, I've just sat back and watched myself get trashed left and right, wondering when they were going to come get me, mm-hmm. either because the allegations that I'm a criminal were true or the allegations of a psychopath, I should be put in a padded room. So any minute, someone's going to come back and get me. And because it hasn't happened, I'm starting to wonder maybe I was onto something and maybe they were worried about something. And but, you know, what gets lost in all of this discussion of what's going on is that the how close we all work together. The elections went so well, both Kim Pine and Tom Berg both wanted to hire me immediately after the special election. In January, Kim and I were negotiating how much she wanted to pay me to work in her office. Tom and I were doing the same thing. And then together, they had to try and figure out how I could stay full-time at City Hall and then part-time, you know, after-hours, weekends, you know, at the state capitol. So, really, any concept that what went on last year during the election in 2010 was replete with all of this bad relations and crimes or whatever, I wouldn't have gotten hired by either of them if that were the case or if they didn't like my work.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't have happened. So something happened this year that caused things to go south. So they both want to hire me in January. I take the job as Tom Berg's chief of staff, first person he hires after the election. Kim Pine, I say, sure, let's do it, but you got to pay, you know, my bill from the election. And what she told me and what Tom, this is hearsay now, because, but Tom tells me that she said to him is, look, if you give him this job, you've got to tell him, you know, that that covers past campaign bills. And, well, I didn't like that idea at all. I mean, I worked for that money. I should be paid. And I gave her discounts galore, freebies galore, but there's certain costs I have to pass along and that she needs to pay for. So everything was hunky-dory up until about January, and then at some point it started to go south. And I can tell you right up front, the problem was me and Kim and this money.
Mm-hmm.
Have I harassed her to the point of extortion? No. You drop an invoice in the mail, and then you follow up and you say, how come you're not paying it? Next thing you know, a few weeks go by, and she's sending her intermediary, her chief of staff, to try and negotiate with me and telling me, okay, well, she'll pay you now, but you have to sign a confidentiality agreement in order to do that. And so I'm so insulted by this proposal, I go, yeah, well, tell you what, here's the counterproposal.
Mm-hmm.
She pays me the outstanding bill, acknowledges she owes me the money. I sign the confidentiality agreement, which, of course, I never would. I don't give it my free speech except in advance, maybe, to but here's my wrinkle. I want her to give me an endorsement, a testimonial quote. Eric Ryan and Studio Ryan are fantastic. I would use them again, you know, her picture and a quote. And I knew that she would never even go for that. But it was the only ridiculous response I could give back to Goldner on Kim's behalf to this concept that I'd have to sign a confidentiality agreement to get paid for work I did, you know, months and months and months earlier. So, again, relationship great in January. Things went south. And as I understand it, I'm sort of correcting myself, it was actually April when I finally gave up hope on her paying, and I decided, well, I've got to take her political campaign website offline. It's mine. She's not paying for it. And the one that she calls her legislative website, her state capitol website, mine, sitting on my server, take that offline. And that's when the law enforcement angle began.
Mm-hmm.
The you know, the tinfoil hat, I guess she might have put on at that point and said, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to report him to the HPD for this. I'm going to report the FBI for this. I'm going to report him to the sheriff's office. That angle for the sheriff's office was, well, because it's my state capitol website, mind you, it's not on a government computer. It's on one I lease.
Mm-hmm.
Because it relates to the state capitol, I'm going to call the sheriffs. And she created this big potential for panic at the legislature that everyone's website at the state capitol, everyone's emails were all potentially hackable by this guy who's out of control. And since then, she's been saying how she wants to protect the world from me. And I'm like, well, okay, but I didn't do anything, so go pass your laws, go get your press conferences, whatever. I'm going to go back to work at City Hall. And things got to the point where she knew how to push Tom Berg's buttons, and I'm out of a job. But that's the long and short of it. But it was April when things dramatically went over the hill. I was, like, tired of trying to negotiate with her and her go-betweens and saying, just pay the bill, pay the bill, pay the bill. I'm not going to take the job at the state capitol. I'm not going to sign a confidentiality agreement. Pay the bill. and I gave her a deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Not an extortionistic, harassing deadline, just at this point, all bets are off. You know, I'm not going to prop you up anymore. You can't use the logo I redesigned for you. You can't use the websites. You can't use the e-blast, you know, designs. You can't use T-shirt, whatever else. I'm going to put an end to it. Mm-hmm. And it's going to have to stop. All the mailers I designed for you, you can't reuse any of that. And so I gave her an extra couple of weeks. I didn't say that, but the deadline passed. I'm like, okay, you know, and I'm busy, and I'm doing stuff for the city. And I'm like, okay, I wake up one morning, turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, all hell breaks loose, and I'm hearing from Bluehost, which is one of many companies out there that let you host websites, which is one of the ones I used, and the person who previously did her websites used when he sold me the...
This is Daniel Bracken.
Yeah, Daniel Bracken used to be a staffer for Kim Pine 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I first got to know him. He was working for, what was it, the Ron Paul presidential campaign, and I was not. But he and some other people were doing such a great job over there at the Ron Paul campaign, really organizing locally, doing a super job, that I thought, these are the kind of people I need to hire to work for me at Stop Rail Now. So I did. Mm-hmm. And that's the beginning of my getting to know Daniel. And he so impressed Kim Pine that she hired him and the other guy that I'd hired, a fellow named Dan Douglas, to work from Stop Rail Now. They went on to work at Kim Pine's office for one session. Anyway, so that's the last time that Daniel worked for Kim, and I think he did some private work for her afterward. But he became a friend of mine and even did a few projects for me and my company for different clients. Never anything jointly for Kim. He just basically, he had purchased these websites, and then he sold them to me so I could now service Kim, and that came with her blessing last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the extent of it. I've heard Kim saying, those two guys are taking me to the cleaners and charging me tens of thousands, or some ridiculous thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'll let you get to your caller.
Now, regarding her statement, and caller will get right with you, she stated that it was her computer, or
yeah,
state
right,
website. Well,
right,
after asking her a couple of times, then she backed down and said, it's not the state website, because I asked her, why wouldn't you pursue it
right,
criminally, and why not go to the Attorney General?
Right.
Well, then she backed out and said, well, no, it's not. But she said to me that you had not worked with her after June 2010.
My goodness.
And that was because, and I asked her in three different ways,
yeah,
and she assured me, no, because you were a psychopath, you
right,
you owed people money, you
right,
had tried to rip off John Carroll.
Yeah, there you go.
And
yes,
and no way would she. But I'm learning that what you've disclosed to us in documents,
yeah,
and emails from her,
yeah,
she said, never worked with him really, like in an intimate way until this time.
Yeah.
He is a constituent of mine. And I don't know what story to believe,
sure,
when she tells me, but we'll get the caller here.
Maybe
they. Good morning, caller. Comment, a question?
I have a comment. Ask someone here. You were behind Stop Rail?
I think the question was I with Stop Rail Now?
If yeah, I heard you mention that a couple of times.
Yeah, I was the campaign manager for that in 2008, and then before that in 1992 when it had a different name.
Okay, so I don't know what your alternative would be for the railway. Have you been out there to where they're starting the rail right now and seen the structures they've put up already?
Well, there's nothing there yet in Waipahu.
There's some columns up, wait a minute now. Let's get... That's why I asked you that question.
Time
out. You've been out there and seen the columns that they have up.
Time out, time out, yeah, time out, time out. We're not discussing the intricate doings of rail today.
No, but I mean,
no.
Money already has been wasted. The things are wasting away. I'm glad that you want to stop rail now. I'm glad that you're on 208.
I understand, but...
But you can end up staying here. Let the kids really fall with her. Because, you know, she's a turncoat. You know, you can't believe her from a long time ago.
Well, okay, but again, you know, we're not talking stop rail, begin rail.
Yeah.
And we're talking railroading.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really railroaded.
Okay,
you know,
so,
but I'm just saying, our money is already there. There is a perfect picture of our money already being wasted right before our eyes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because remember, they, I don't know if they're using the same steel that they made the stadium with.
Okay.
And for the roof bucket now.
Okay, Bob, next, tell you what, Eric, will you come back and you know a lot about Stop Rail? Will you?
I'd be happy. I could actually pretend to be both sides because I've heard both sides so many
Bob,
times.
Bob, would you like to hear him back next week and talk about Stop Rail?
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. This guy, you know, hey, I really appreciate you're standing up. I don't know why you didn't do it sooner.
That's
listen
kind
to
of
me now, sir. You know, I mean, you know, you're the intricate. You know, you're off the line now. You know, they're not feeding any more information. Now, if this hacking thing is true, are you going to hack people? I don't know. They gave you that jacket. Is that true?
The only hacking I've ever done was once when I had a cough for about 6 weeks, and I hacked my lungs out.
Hey, you know what I mean? You know, I don't know your character, so this is just someone heard you
sure.
heard about you, right?
Thank
you're
you.
Some person that worked for these people. There's no doubt about it, right? So you know way more than me and Tara does, you know. And so I appreciate you, you know, coming, you know, forth, you know, and they're going to, you know, whatever they know about you is going to come out too. So you better be ready for the return to sallow, you know.
Oh, we're ready for it. Oh, my goodness. I've been hearing nothing but it for the last 6-7 weeks, and I don't
well,
assume
you know, I don't have a TV, so
oh, sure.
you know, I don't see that picture of you. I don't know who you are. That is, like I said, your name is new to me till today.
Sure.
I'm glad that you're on this, at least on this show here to touch another audience, you know what I mean?
Well, if you want to borrow a sprinkler system, he'd make a perfect one. There's lots of holes in his back from people shooting.
Hey, you guys had a good day.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Carl, for the gentleman.
Okay. Again, I want to make it clear, even though I'm chuckling, laughing,
yeah.
this is serious, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend to deflect and our attacks on you. You're your own man. And
right.
But, again, if you're telling a lie,
right.
then liars suffer eventually, and that's between you and your rock that you are.
Carol, if I may just inject just one brief little thing, and I promise to be brief. If the average person or even the most well-informed people think about politics and you wonder why things never really ever change,
mm-hmm.
and you wonder why problems never get solved and yet they spend more and more or whatever, I mean, and you really wonder what happens on a daily basis behind the scenes, the story that I'm experiencing now
mm-hmm.
is exactly, and I'm on the minority side,
mm-hmm.
This is exactly what goes on fairly regularly to make sure that nothing ever changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to hold myself out there, as you said in the beginning of the program, as an angel. But I do know how this works. I do know what's going on and what goes on regularly. And there's a reason why anyone that wants to dramatically change things gets ridiculed. And I can say this in defense of my now former boss, Tom Berg, although I'm legally working to get the job back, that he himself in the last 6 months has been pretty well ostracized by his colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't made much of an effort to engage them, and I could go on forever about that. But they don't like what he's selling anyway.
Right.
And so the media is not going to speak nicely about Tom Berg. The colleagues are only going to give him the time of day if he's lucky. But anyone who's really there to rock the boat, change the system, or speak the truth doesn't last very long.
Right.
And that's just what I wanted to inject.
No matter what party.
Oh, goodness, no. This is majority party, minority party. If the more you know about politics, you start to understand it's more about the ins and the outs. And if you're an insider, and if you're on the take, and you're part of something that's working for you guys on the inside, it doesn't matter, Democrat, Republican, for a lot of these people who partisanship is only something they do in election year,
mm-hmm.
and maybe occasionally on TV. But for the most part, these people work very close together, and it's usually about protecting themselves and getting reelected and keeping the system going. Voter turnout, as we all know, is horrible in Hawaii. It's horrible across the nation, but it's really horrible in Hawaii. But it depends what you mean by horrible. It's fantastic, the low voter turnout, if you're a political insider here, because mm-hmm. you are guaranteed to get everything that you want, your people reelected, those folks reelected so they can keep things in place.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder how it is that government can't change, can't be reformed, and it's because the same people are in there, and it's a combination of Republicans and Democrats, who prop things up, keep them just the same. The same employees keep getting whatever they want for the mm-hmm. most part. The contractors get what they want. Other people that are on the take. And as long as they turn out, every 2 years at election time, to make sure that they get at least 51% or more of the vote, and there's no real threat from us, you know, insurgents, mm-hmm. reformers, ever really throwing the bums out, and they can keep delivering every 2 years, nothing needs to change. Mm-hmm. And so the focus the rest of the time is shutting up people like me, mm-hmm. probably people like you from what I'm hearing, mm-hmm. Shutting us up, because that might actually catch on what's being said, contrary to the way they run things. Any mm-hmm. criticism, it might actually catch fire. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, they're not winning elections. But, mm-hmm. oh my goodness, I just wanted to throw it out there, because there's going to be another Eric Ryan. Mm-hmm. There's going to be another Eric Ryan after that.
But, Eric, don't sit here and make promises like that. Let's what I would like to see an Eric Ryan in the form of a Democrat.
Yeah.
Walk through that door and spend the 2 weeks sharing with me insight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm very suspicious of the way things work in this town.
Sure.
Because I know how they work in this town. And I take nothing for granted.
Yeah.
As I said, our governor, I mean, it's appalling.
Right.
The way, if Linda Lingle had have behaved, they would have taken her out back, flogged her, beat her, shot her. And then turn around and did a press release, and they'd all be there going, well, she must have done something to deserve that. When in fact, we, our unions,
right?
I mean, they're like, remind me of the when I was a little boy on the chicken farm.
Right.
You know, you walk out with a handful of grain, and man, you had an audience. And that's what this has happened. Our legislators in the House, in the Senate. They're, as you described, they're just going along and, oh, well, the people are left to defend for themselves or fend for themselves. In our schools now, he picks his board. He tells who should resign because, you know, this speaks to what you're saying. And, and this is what's unfortunate about the people that were writing and reporting about you and saying it was an attack. You were, some of them went out further and said, you hacked. They didn't say... Allegedly hacked. Yeah. It stated,
reported as fact, as if it actually happened and they saw it.
You hacked them, so you know, and then come back and say it appears. Well, you know, you either when you make a statement, don't turn around and tell me it appears.
Right.
You know, but one of the things that I want to talk about is that to convey and I'm sure there's a for one Eric Ryan or one Kimberly Pine and Tom Berg situation. Within on the that side of the aisle,
right?
I can assure you, there's 10 times that in the Democratic Party.
That's how they're the majority.
Because you know, I mean, you take for example, why and how can they sit back? We are their constituents.
Right.
How is it that we have to pick up the paper and hope that the newspaper write an article chastising the governor on OIP, on appointees and judicial system and what have you? And where are our legislators? Probably out in the back room with our dictator, form of governor, who sitting there sucking our blood, raising our taxes. But he told us, don't vote for the Republicans.
Yeah.
And then the Republicans get a chance to, I mean, I would be, if that was me, if I was a GOP, I'd be so mad and angry right now that I was courting Kimberly Pine, and forget the what Eric Ryan and all that, that she had this great conversation and this great audience from her throne to tell the story, but failed to disclose to them that she was going to become a jumping ship, or forget the jumping ship in parties. Just the fact that her position is pretty much a secure position as a House of Representatives in that district. Could I guess that right?
The lone exception to that was last year, which is why she had me working with her, because she felt pretty at risk last year. But generally speaking, most incumbents in Hawaii, including her, are pretty safe.
So you have a skeletal remains of a GOP.
Right.
So I'm being facetious. And then in turn, you have an individual who decides, quietly, I'm going to jump ship, but in the process, I'm going to destroy... Berg, I'm going to taint his image, and then I'm going to destroy his chief of staff.
Right.
I mean, she should have said, you know what, I'm suing the pants off you, partner.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to take, but here's the problem I have with that. She say that it costs money.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that the reason she really hadn't filed a lawsuit, because see, in a lawsuit, there are certain things called depositions.
Right.
And then there's also things called discovery.
Yeah.
So she knows that she plays the line, just push it, and she got the cheerleading squad behind her. Well, yeah, Kimberly, that Eric will take care of this, and we'll get the reporters while they're being ripped too. I hope they have some shame. Forget this this Eric Ryan, but I want to hear from them. I want to see what the GOP, and I'm watching to see how the reporters report this. They won't talk about it.
Well, you know, I spoke with some of the reporters in the last really just few days who had no problems putting out whatever Kim was selling about me.
Mm-hmm.
Hacker, broke into government systems, extortionist, just
attacking her husband who's in the Navy.
Right. I don't know about all this stuff. Apparently, I've been very busy when I was really doing something else. I must maybe these people at night, you know, can sleepwalk and do work or something, because I don't remember any of this. But anyway, talked to these reporters, and I said, you know that you've put out stuff in the last 6-7 weeks about me that you've since discovered is completely untrue. Why is it you haven't retracted any of this? And I can't believe the nerve of these people. I said, well, you'll have to speak to our editor or our station president or, you know, our manager, producer, whatever. It's really they're above me. I said, but you're the one that fed this beast of misinformation by saying things that, like you said, Carol, put it out factually. Eric Ryan did this. Eric Ryan did that. Not even the word alleged. Of course, I would have been thrilled with that either, because it's not true. But why won't you take it back? And they're all too proud to take it back. Mm-hmm. And I think they also are worried about a defamation suit, because I can show that they engage in what's called reckless disregard for the truth. I gave them quietly off the air all the information they needed before they ever did their stories, so they could see that I didn't go anywhere near computer systems of the government. I didn't do any of these things that at the time, before the list of allegations grew so fast, to prove it wasn't true, they ran with it anyway. So those people wonder, Eric, how come you weren't on the TV defending yourself? And I say, well, it's because they already wrote the story and I knew it. I could tell, you know, I mean, I have experience with this going back 25 years to the first Bush campaign in 1987-88. I know how these things work.
Mm-hmm.
And you know if a story's already been written when the reporter comes to you, and they're just looking for the last little blurb from you so they can finish their piece, which is already a hatchet job, you know.
Mm-hmm. So I want to share, and this is not in defense of you, I want to convey to the listeners out there how this thing, from where I'm standing and sitting and looking,
right.
I contact Ms. Pine
yeah.
And others. And this is what my listeners, I'm hoping they can appreciate what's going on. Well, you know, John Carroll says that he didn't want to really take action against Eric because Eric has a nice mother who is a professional, a famous actress,
yeah.
and so blah, blah, blah. Well,
right.
Pine then picks that same story up and says, well, you know,
right.
Eric, his problem is he's a pathological liar.
Right.
He's psychotic.
Yeah.
And the reason is that, see, his mother was a famous actress.
Yeah.
And that he was raised by nannies, and so, therefore, that's why he's... Now, this is from the person who says that I'm scared for my life.
Right.
Weeks ago.
Yeah.
And crying.
Yeah.
But then, when given the opportunity to talk to me on record... She tells you, so this is why I had to look at this
sure.
and get involved. Not I don't like politics because
yeah.
I don't understand it, because understanding politics, then you become a psychologist
right.
and a psychiatrist, a mother and a father.
Yeah.
But I'm not. I can't be all of that.
Well, when people spend that much time apparently looking into your past and looking at your credit report and who your family is and who you dated in college or something like that, you know that they're working overtime on what we call in the business opposition research. They're looking for anything they can find to try and discredit me.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, as you said, why not just talk about this stuff now, these facts now, what actually happened? Based on legal advice I got, that was one of the other reasons that I've been quiet for most of this time, because smart legal minds advised me, and I had a gut feeling about this too, that both Kim Pine and Tom Berg would ultimately hang themselves with their own words by boxing themselves in the corners with some of these allegations and statement of facts that's so easily disproven. So it's been entertaining and painful at the same time listening to what's been said, but they're now so boxed into a position that's untenable. I'd be more inclined to think the police will show up at their house than at mine.
Good morning, Carla. You have a comment or question for Eric or myself?
Yes, good morning, Carol and Eric. This is Andy from Hawaii Kai.
Good morning, Andy.
I've worked with Eric on the stop rail now, and I got to say, there were very few people who were more energetic, more dedicated to the cause than Eric Ryan. So I've always said I appreciate you for that.
Thanks, sir.
Yep, and the rail is a boondoggle. It is a way for the old boy, old girl network to get all the contracts and to get the land around the stations to get the development rights and to make big money and then to turn around and put that money into the campaign coffers of the very people who help them get that inside information, et cetera, et cetera. And Panos Provedos and, by the way, Ann Kobayashi have a much better plan. It's much less expensive. It'll still put government workers to work. It'll still help the unions, but it just won't do it as much as the rail. But it'll actually help the people of Hawaii. But I do have to say about Eric Ryan and the other characters in this drama that we are already in the minority, meaning conservatives, fiscally responsible people, and people who are not part of the corruption of the old boy, old girl network. And then when we firing squad at each other, it does not help. And I wish everybody would stop doing it. So I'm not saying who's right or wrong in this particular case. Yeah. But the more we do it, the more we damage ourselves. And the way I would compare it to is, can you imagine the labor movement and perhaps back in the 40s and 50s when they were in the minority and the big five were ruling, all the corporations, the sugar, the plantations.
Yeah.
And if they were firing squad at each other instead of saying, we have our differences, let's be mad at each other, but let's do it relatively quietly so that we all keep the eye on the goal to stop the corrupt system that we're all under and change it. And I can give you examples of, like, Sam Sloan, who is a rock solid. He's been against the rail. He's always against the rail, no matter what. He's against special funds and all these ways that these Democrats get these, get the slush funds and their money. So there are people on the correct side, in my opinion, who are consistent. Now, Sam isn't perfect. Nobody's perfect. No human being is perfect.
Sure.
But he's the most consistent, and now he's unfortunately the only member of the Senate, State Senate, but we just got to keep realizing that we have differences with each other, but they're much smaller than the differences with us and the corrupt system.
Well, if I may respond, Carol, to Andy, he's a terrific guy, and I remember him very well from that fight with Rail, and it's really a never-ending fight. But it brings to mind some important points. First of all, I am extremely bothered and very sensitive to this issue that our minority in Hawaii can't ever seem to get its act together. And this circular firing squad thing that he's talking about is devastatingly true. I don't think that Andy or the average person who gets to know this situation would begrudge me finally fighting back after endless weeks of endless allegations against me at some point. Just because Tom Berg is now elected and is from our side, or Kim Pine's from our side, she's elected, that I should have to be collateral damage in just stuff made up about me to protect themselves. In addition, I think I really should tell a very brief story here. Kim Pine, I never knew her until a few years ago. She called me up out of the blue, really wanted to get together and talk. So I remember like it was yesterday, years ago. We met at the Starbucks in Eva Beach. She was under a bit of pressure from her colleagues, Republican colleagues, to get to know this guy and see what she could do about sort of quieting my constant critique of the Republican Party, which, at some point, you got to agree, it sucks. It's just so poorly run, and that's why we're permanently in this minority position, because we refuse to get it together. We play little games, but it never quite gets better. So she came out, we're both in Eva Beach. She met with me, and we got to talking. And that was right after the 2008 election. So at that point, the Stop Rail Now side had just come up short in stopping rail. And from that meeting on, every time I talked to Kim, met with Kim, emailed Kim, whatever, and got involved really closely working with her to organize the Tea Parties starting in 2009, 2010, and so on, you get to know a person. And she let me know that on rail, she paid a really big political price in 2005 as the one person, one of a handful, that voted against increasing the tax for the rail system. But come 2008, realizing she'd pissed off every union, every special interest group that was going to milk this cash cow, just like caller Andy said, she found it very liberating now that, quote, the people have spoken on rail, mm-hmm. that she could now adopt a position, well, the people have spoken, so now I can vote pro-rail and things. And I know that, you know, at the city council, that's where the action is now on rail and taxes and zoning and properties and TOD, which is all the land development around each of the 20 stations and so on. So anyway, there's a huge amount of money at play, and you're not going to move up the way Kimberly wants to move up from the little one of 76 state legislatures to one of nine city council to maybe one mayor, one governor, one congresswoman or something. You're not going to move up if you fight against the rail machine, because the rail machine is the political establishment machine. Mm-hmm. So each, few weeks as the subject might come up, she kind of let me know where she was heading with this issue, which was that she's now really more in the pro-rail camp. And that, I would bet almost anything, if there were no other issue on the agenda, let's say the hacking never came up, and Kim Pine versus Tom Berg to be the West Oahu council person in 2012, next year, that would be the issue. That people are stuck in traffic and they need the rail. Of course, rail's not going to help traffic, but,
May I jump in?
Yeah, please.
Okay, I want to say that I don't want you to be the collateral damage. I want you to be able to speak up for yourself, too.
Please.
Definitely, but I know that you have also sent, very angry information out about the Republican Party, which is true. Like you said, let's all just look around. Have they been a success or a failure? I mean, Republicans are in a super minority, one of the worst lopsided political
in the
situations in the whole nation. Mm-hmm. I mean, only having one Republican senator in our Senate. But again, even though they're not doing well, to kind of be vocally saying that they suck and et cetera is not, in my opinion, helpful. So I wish all sides would say it to each other in private, but in public say we're still against the corruption all around us.
So Andy,
go ahead.
Stop.
Go ahead, Phil.
Okay. I appreciate what you're saying, and I'm curious, who's going to take the guns? Maybe someone needs to take the guns out of the hands of the people that will stand and participate in this circular firing squad, number one.
Yep.
So you're saying work within, when in fact, and you say that it's a small number, aren't you alarmed or concerned that even under these conditions that a person would be planning to jump ship, leave the party how are you going to address that? Are you just going to focus on this, quote, squabble?
No.
No, I mean, so... don't try to talk. I'll give you 2 hours, but don't ever... I'd like to be sensible. There are people listening to us. I don't want to be stupid on...
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were done. Go ahead.
No. Just chill out. We got all kinds. This is what I'm asking: is that when do you take them out to the woodshed, and when do you, if you're afraid to do it, and you say do it quietly, how would you have done this one when it wasn't disclosed that she's going to leave the party? Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a very good question, and this is a difficult problem to solve, because we want to hold each other accountable on the conservative side, but we don't. If you do it publicly, we all know that the liberals and the Democrats and the media in our town are very willing to pile on. So if you already start to weaken somebody publicly, then they're going to pile on and make sure to take you completely out. Like this stuff about, oh, Eric Ryan was just a child of an actor, and then all that stuff. So it gets crazy. And in fact, the people in our town love it when we talk about really fringe issues instead of the rail is going to cost billions of dollars and not really solve traffic congestion.
Right on.
Let me say real quick. Yeah. About Kimberly Pine saying that, you know, what you just said about now that the people, quote-unquote, have spoken, and now she can feel freer to say, oh, well, the rail, you know, people spoke.
Right.
Well, if we take the side of the way Sam Sloan has operated this, Sam Sloan has said, never give up. He said, the people voted, but it was only a 51% to 50.3% if you count all the blank votes. So it was really a weak endorsement of it, and it was poorly worded. You know, it was the Department of Transportation shall have the authority to do steel on steel. Right. You know, so it was really convoluted.
Right.
So he says, no, let's keep fighting. And what does he do? He finds a way to partner with former Democratic Governor Cayetano and some of the most important people in our town and country, and have a lawsuit against it.
Well, Andy, if I may,
here's my mic. Thanks, Andy. Really, I've got to say this. It sounds to me like I might be invited next week to talk about the rail thing at length, if that works out that way. Carol, I guess, will announce that. But what I need to tell you is back to the specific issues at hand and how they relate to everything you just said.
Okay.
Sam Sloan, obviously, a champion for our side. I think both Republicans, conservatives, libertarians all find great things to think about Sam Sloan. Now, you're very correct to say the circular firing squad is bad. But let me just share some quick facts and ask me what you and others are doing to help this. Now, I haven't really spoken out or tried to defend myself until this past week at the most.
Okay.
Sam Sloan's staff, Sam Sloan's live-in girlfriend, Malia Zimmerman, the Hawaii Reporter, have all been on the attack against Eric Ryan the past few weeks in Hawaii Reporter and other media. They've all been on the attack. They haven't kept quiet. They haven't whispered or met or negotiated. They've been on the attack with Sam's full knowledge and understanding. In addition, the Hawaii Reporter and some other publications seem to be overly influenced and infiltrated by MUFI people like Keith Rollman, who has partnered with Sam's girlfriend Malia and Sam and the other people with Hawaii Reporter to just trash me endlessly and digging things up and making stuff up and whatever. And I'm like, okay, Andy is a great guy. He's calling in, expressing a frustration that I solidly agree with. But I wonder if you and others have been calling Sam Sloan's office saying, Senator, why have you unleashed your girlfriend and your staffers and who knows what you're doing on Eric Ryan instead of trying to seek a private solution on this? Why are you circling the wagons like there's an Indian trying to attack all the people going across the country with their covered wagons instead of trying to find a solution? Because not one person's contacted me, Andy, about finding out the facts of this, so I'm having to put them out. But they've all joined in the chorus of jump on Eric Ryan and attack him. This is Sam Sloan, his entire staff, his girlfriend Malia, who lives with him, Hawaii Reporter, and all those people think, oh my God, Eric's got to be stopped. We have to circle the wagons around Tom Berg and Kimberly Pine. He knows too much, or whatever the reason is. But you know that this is true. And MUFI people that Sam and Malia partnered with to get MUFI elected years ago, and now they're partnering with them again now to shut me up.
Yeah, let me.
Why is this happening?
I can tell you, as a small business person, I work so many hours a week that I didn't know a lot of this. What you're telling me.
Yeah, and read Hawaii Reporter. It's just it should be called Eric Ryan is a scumbag.com.
Yeah, Andy, thank you for calling
in. Sure, thank you for giving me a long program format to be able to speak and ask questions. I really appreciate it, Carol. I appreciate your program.
Keep up the good fight.
And I'd love to have you back next week, like Carol Cox is saying, and talk all about rail. It'd be great. You're very good fountain of knowledge about that issue, for sure.
Thank you, sir.
Sure, aloha.
I understand. I want everybody to understand where I'm coming from.
Sure.
We have problems in our local government here. It's lopsided.
Yeah.
Whether it's Republican, I'd like to see another look across the aisle and see another group of people there sitting there saying, no, we're not going for it.
Yeah.
Right now, it's, hey, we need to raise the taxes, suck the blood of the people. Oh, okay, we got 2 pints. Well, a human being only has so many pints. Right. Well, the same thing about bank accounts and money.
Yeah.
We need that. So I'm here using you to bring and the importance of having someone on the other side.
Yeah.
But if someone on the other side is playing games within the team and no one's getting alarmed by that, then maybe it's okay to see the numbers diminish. Because if they're really willing to look for their own well-being and take on the issues, then something's wrong. Now, Keith Rollman sent me an email here, and I can't play it, but...
That'd be Mufi's media guy for all these years.
Well, yeah, and you know, I try to be respectful to everyone.
Sure.
And Keith has seemed to be just... He's written emails and telling me that I should reconsider or consider having these things and include them. So I'm going to read the email, but I can't play the... After listening, because I don't have the downloaded yet.
Sure.
After listening to the phony Eric facade for an hour, you might want to play a little snip of the real Eric.
Uh-oh.
Ask him,
uh-oh,
simple yes or no, if he also sent deliberately harassing fake emails from fabricated email addresses, Mufi Hanneman at gmail.com, purporting to be from Keith Rollman to city employees and the media. Now, here's what I got to say.
Sure, please.
Keith, if you'd have said that you had, quote, Mother Teresa, then I would say fine. But you're talking about Mufi Hanneman.
Right.
You're on Mufi Hanneman's team. Brother, you can have my trust, and I'll give it to you unconditionally. But when you keep writing me about this, and I've had you on the show, and I always will again, but I got to tell you publicly, you can't throw stones. And you're not living in a glass house. I don't know what you live in, but when you connect yourself with Mufi Hanneman, and look how he got in. Remember the Honorable Duke Bainham?
Yeah.
I mean, but they tell me about everything that Eric did.
Yeah.
Eric the Great. Yeah. You know, not the you know, the psychotic Eric. Right. You're Eric the Great, because I've had more people call me, write me, and tell me. And the problem is, let's preface with Mufi Hanneman. You can ask him, what was Mufi Hanneman's role with Keith Rollman?
Well, I'll answer your question and even his. The short answer, did I do this thing I'm accused of? No. Was I ever jailed for it? No. Prosecuted? No. Was I arrested? No. Interviewed? No. Questioned? No. It never happened. As I understand it, just before, at the exact same time, coincidentally, that this whole Kim Pine hacking thing came down, the Democrats at the city prosecutor's office decided to leak an unsigned document from back when Carlisle was prosecutor and his now managing director, Doug Chin, was the second in command there, leaked some unsigned document by Chris Van somebody or other, the prosecutor who was supposedly looking at the case of the who sent this email pretending, or if it was pretend, from Keith Rollman boasting about one of his many anonymous attack political websites. At the time, that was called Fire Panos. And nothing ever came of it. I remember the day that Tom Berg was sworn in, and I was standing right there, January 19th at City Hall. Doug Chin made a beeline for me and apologized to me, and apologized on behalf of now Mayor Carlisle. Again, they were both prosecutor's office, for that whole incident that Keith Rollman himself instigated with his complaints. The funny thing about it is two things, just real quick. One is Keith Rollman was exposed last year for being the guy behind the Neil Abercrombie attack website, Atomic Monkey, that he was anonymously doing and had to be shamed into taking down. Now he's since decided to attach his name to it since the election and his guy Mufi went down in flames. And then the other interesting fact is that, that investigation that Keith Rollman set in motion, it turns out that he was using City Hall computers on behalf of the Mufi campaign to attack me, Andy mentioned Panos Prevedoris and all these other people.
Okay, real quick, caller.
Heavy stuff.
I'm going to tell you, I want you to tell me in a nutshell in a minute about Save Our Beach, and then I'm going to get this caller. Caller, go here real quickly, caller. You have a comment or question?
Morning, Carol. Thanks for bringing Eric on. Now I know the facts on both sides. And Eric, I'm glad you came on, spoke your piece.
Thank you.
My question is, what legal action are you going to take against Kimberly Pine and Tom Berg about, you know, at least getting your job back in the city?
The shortest of all possible answers is everything's being considered. The short answer with regard to Tom Berg is I believe I was fired illegally because I whistle blew on sleeping government employees, sexual harassers and stuff, and I can prove that because it's in his email to me firing me saying that's why I'm firing you.
Great.
With regard to Kim Pine, really her and the media went out of their way to make me look pretty bad with things that are demonstrably untrue, that they knew it were untrue and they said them. That sounds like a civil action. So I really don't know 100% at this point, but the result probably won't be good for either of them.
And she didn't pay you, right?
That's exactly true. One check she gave me was really to pay for something I think Carol wants to talk about next, which is this super secret Save Eva Beach campaign.
Right.
And so I didn't see a penny of that.
Uh-huh.
I've been chasing her down for 8 months, not in a harassing, extortionistic way,
uh-huh.
just saying, hey, going to pay the bill?
Uh-huh.
And
too bad we don't have a Judge Judy down here. You can go.
we have you and the listeners out there. Well, you can sort through this.
Well, I think one of Judge Judy's famous lines is, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Right.
And that reminds me of another thought. When I first got into politics, and Kim Pine brings this to mind immediately when I think of her, the saying is, once you can fake sincerity,
right.
you've got it made in politics.
Uh-huh.
And, boy, is she the best actress in local politics.
Yeah, wish you luck, Eric.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Real quickly, the Eva Beach, Save Eva Beach was put together by Kim Pine.
Real quickly. You know, it may have come out of brainstorming between both of us, but what happened was as soon as she found out that a guy named Jason Bradshaw, a Democrat, he's the political director of the AFL-CIO in Hawaii, which is the umbrella for 50, 60 unions. I mean, that's like the epitome of power in Hawaii, was going to move to Eva Beach from Kailua or Waimanalo, suddenly moved to Eva Beach just in time for the election. He was going to be the candidate running against her. She panicked. She knew that she'd upset every single one of these unions with her position on rail in 2005 voting against the tax, which is like saying to a Christian that the Bible was just a piece of paper. You do not attack the rail tax because that is where all the money and blood and mother's milk flows from. So she was extremely worried. This was payback year. 2010 was going to be payback year. She was going to be thrown out of office on a stretcher because she had betrayed these people by going up against her. Even if she didn't betray them, she just screwed them. So she came to me. We had gotten to know each other real well. We'd been working together on Tea Party stuff. She said, Eric, I'm really worried. What can we do? And we started brainstorming, came up with this concept of a thing called Save Eva Beach. Every year you hear groups that suddenly appear to fight, you know, initiative, to fight referendum, to fight this issue, whatever. And these groups pop up. You see them nationally, you see them locally. And this was going to be one of those groups. By law, those groups are, I'm learning in the last few days, supposed to be separate from candidates. They're not supposed to be like working in partnership. But what Save Eva Beach was going to do was do all the heavy lifting of attacking her Democrat opponent and Tom Berg's Democrat opponent.
Before the election.
Before the election, to soften them up so that by the time of election day, they could just say nice flowery things about themselves and get reelected.
Okay.
Heavy stuff.
Would you like to come back next week? And Keith and others, if you'd like to honestly come on and talk, you're more than welcome to. I won't shun anyone. Again, Ms. Pine, if you'd like to come on and talk. Mr. Berg, if you'd like to come on and talk, please give me a call. And we can go from there. And the mic is available. And I appreciate all of you out there. I honestly, there's so much to talk about in this that I'm embarrassed to say that I can't even sort through it. But again, thank you for joining me, and I'll see you next week, and I appreciate Eric.
Thank you, Carol.
And let's get somebody on the other side of the aisle. Thank you.
Yes.
Aloha. Aloha, this is Carol Cox. Please join me on Sundays here on KWAI 1080 AM from 8 to 10 AM.
where we will discuss waste, fraud, and abuse in government, the environment, and some lighthearted subjects, and other issues you might have. That's Sundays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., here on KWAI 1080 AM.